Hola. Ay, Dios mío, it's Thursday. Hola. Ay, Dios mío, it's Thursday. Time for Jackie's Vida Loca, where every week we divulge our Latino secrets, talk about our crazy Latino culture, gossip about our crazy Latino friends and relatives, and interview the craziest, the funniest Latino comedians on the Latino comedy scene. Welcome to my crazy life. Jackie's Vida Loca.
Loquitos, this is Jackie Dollar, and here we meet again. This is Jackie's Vida Loca on Blog Talk Radio on Easy Way Broadcasting, and here we are. Did you hear the crazy chicken, my pollo loco? Listen, we have an amazing show for you today. My entire week this week has been absolutely consumed by the movie Oz the Great and Powerful. In fact, we have the young woman who is just so absolutely gorgeous and such a wonderful person, but incredibly talented. Simone Porter is a pop music songwriter. She co-wrote this song for the movie Oz, The Great and Powerful, with Mariah Carey. The name of the song is Almost Home. We're going to play the interview later. We're going to play the song for you. But I got to tell you, listen, The Wizard of Oz remains to this day one of my all-time favorite movies. I cry every time that wicked witch threatens to kill Toto. And I don't know, I know what's going to happen because I've only seen the movie 10,000 times, but it's still very sentimental. But this movie, Oz the Great and Powerful, has been everywhere you go. I mean, there are millions of billboards, tons of bus stop advertising, radio promotions, giveaways. It's all over the internet. In fact, this week, I've even been the Wicked Witch of the West in honor of the movie. But seriously, movies all over the place, and we are so honored to have Simone Porter on our show today. In a little while, we're going to run that interview for you. She is currently in a car on her way to the filming of American Idol because there's going to be a video played on the show tonight, and her song with Mariah Carey is going to be playing in the background. And so you'll get a chance to hear it. If you haven't heard it already, you'll get a chance to hear it for the first time here on Jackie's Vida Loca. But if you have heard it, or after you hear it today, you'll get a chance to actually see some video from the movie tonight with her song playing. But Oz the Great and Powerful is just, it is just such a magical, beautiful movie. And just the way it was done, of course, Disney never makes a mistake when doing this kind of a movie. They just do such a beautiful job. But the story is about this guy, Oscar Diggs. It's played by James Franco. Who's a two-bit circus magician with dubious ethics, who, after he meets these three witches, not three bitches, three witches, Theodora, which is played by Mila Kunis, Evanora, which is played by Rachel Weisz, and Glinda, which is played by the beautiful Michelle Williams, after he meets these three witches, he discovers the difference between good and evil and is magically able to save the land of Oz. By the way, James Franco looks Latino, acts Latino, has a Latino name, but he's Swedish, Russian, Portuguese, and Jewish. Go figure. Okay, we'll take him. We'll take him. And he does a great job in this movie, and it's a really just such a beautiful, beautiful movie to see. And I think it sends such a positive message, you know? And I think we Latinos are very, very receptive to that. Like, we are the consummate optimists. We are more positive than anybody else in the world, we Latinos. 39% of Hispanics are what they're calling pan-optimists, like the most optimistic you can get, compared to 21% for everybody else. So we, like, completely, completely blow the doors off on that. In fact, most Latino teens in particular say they're very, very satisfied with their life. So basically we could be bleeding to death or being eaten by a lion, and we still see the glass as half full. We're dreamers. We are a bunch of dreamers. I'm a dreamer. Dreaming is in my family history. My parents, when I was a little girl, I grew up in, well, I was born in New York City, and when I was like 3 years old, we moved to Puerto Rico. And there, the economy was so lousy that my father literally lost his shirt. He literally lost everything. So what do you think we did? We got on a plane to Miami. There was no tornado like Dorothy, but believe me, we had to go through hell. And we got on a plane to Miami with everything, every single thing we owned, in a lime green suitcase. And I got to say, it's my Latina's mother's influence, but my Jewish father had a lot of ambition, too, and had this incredible, like, work ethic. So, you know, we're dreamers. You know, you take the Cuban community. The Cubans are willing to cross shark-infested waters just to get a Coca-Cola in Miami. and the Mexicans, for crying out loud. I mean, we know the issues with immigration and all that. I mean, for crying out loud, Mexicans crossing the border through tunnels that I'm not skinny enough to fit in, and they do it with no water or anything. Many of them die on their way here, and I just, that breaks my heart. But we are dreamers. We're able to see the positivity. And if Jackie, if I was to create the perfect Oz, let me tell you what it would include. In Jackie's perfect Oz, everybody would be nice. No bad, wicked witches. Everybody would be smart because I have zero tolerance for dummies. All the mirrors would be completely rigged. Skinny mirrors everywhere. My mom and dad and all my loved ones would live forever. Mattresses would all be comfortable. No bumpy mattresses or ones with a hump in the middle. There would be a bacalaito stand, like open 24/7. And a bacal, if you don't know what bacalaitos are, let me just explain this to you. You have not experienced heaven until you've eaten a bacalaito. And what that is a salted cod fritter, but done really skinny and really crispy, and you dip them into the sauce called pique. And pique is very spicy. It is what it sounds like. Oh, my God. There would be a bacalaito stand open 24/7. There would be warm chocolate chip cookies or maybe even like chocolate chip cookie dough all the time. Wishes would be granted every day and none of this three-wish BS. As many wishes as I would want, they would all be granted. Every day would be spa day. Every day is good hair day. No one would ever go hungry. There would be no war, no pain. And the wizard of my Oz would be my beautiful husband, Lee Dollar. I had to say that. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's Jackie's Oz. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful place? I love it. I love it. You know, we, like I said, we Latinos are total dreamers. And I got to share this story about another Garcia family, because my family's Garcia. And by the way, everybody's Latino family has a Garcia in it. But there's this family, the Garcia family in L.A. For 21 years, the Garcias supported their family by picking up garbage, often cutting their fingers on broken glass while searching for cans and bottles. Basically, at late at night, when your lazy ass was fast asleep, this Garcia family, the entire family, okay, not just mom or dad, everybody, the brothers, the sisters, everybody got up in the middle of the night, going through the darkened streets, the back alleys of L.A., gathering up other people's trash, their recyclables. That's very intelligent, right? You discard your bottles and cans, they pick them up. They collected more than 8 million cans and bottles to help put their two children through college. The oldest son is now an engineer. The daughter drives a sports car. What the hell? She's Latina, right? No. She's really in management training for this big rental car company. The youngest son is currently at San Jose State. The parents are now citizens of the U.S. They have held jobs in factories and in kitchens now. And let me tell you, this family has never collected a dime of welfare or any kind of handout, because when the work was slow, you always have basura. You always have trash. And you know, we Californians, we're like completely obsessed with recycling. So there's always an opportunity for people who are looking for opportunity and willing to dream and work hard for that. All right, we got an amazing, amazing show in store for you. We're going to take just a really quick little tiny, incy weensy teeny weeny little break, and we'll be right back on Jackie's Vida Loca.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric Easyzuli and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easyzuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
mentioned that this show is all about Oz the Great and Powerful, and I know that you guys are all going to want to see this film when we finish with you. But there are certain things that I really think you need to do before you go see this movie, okay? So pay attention, because it's just a really amazing movie. It's a beautiful movie, as I said. The actors are just so perfectly suited for their roles. And the story is literally about finding the goodness and finding the good within yourself and doing things that you never thought you could do. And those are really, really powerful messages. And with that in mind, here's my first suggestion. The first thing I think you need to do, if you're a woman, the first thing I think you need to do is get a Dorothy dress and some red ruby red slippers. Hell, get the earrings, the matching makeup. Oh, by the way, Opie has the matching Oz nail polish. Let me tell you, people, this movie is a shopping opportunity. And any shopping opportunity, we take advantage of. So go ahead and get yourself decked out. Be your best Dorothy, okay? The second thing I need you guys to do, you need to go see the original 1939 film if you've not seen it. You need to watch the film, cry, rewind, and see the original again. It's a classic. And if you haven't seen it, you can blame your terrible parents. And by the way, you will be singing all of the songs, If I Only Had a Brain, Follow the Yellow Brick Road. There's some beautiful songs in that original film, and you will be singing those songs for days. And that's okay. Did you know, by the way, this is really sad. Did you know that Judy Garland, God bless her, was an alcoholic? That's really sad news, right? That Dorothy became an alcoholic and was kicking a few back? Oh, my God. That's just, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying, you know, you'd never expect Dorothy to go that route. Okay. Plan an Oz party, complete with your own tornado, flying monkeys, a yellow brick road. Everybody, in order to get in your party, has to skip in. You know that perfect little skip that they all do together? You know what? More people should skip like that. I just think that the world would be a happier place if we skipped more often. And if you haven't skipped lately and you think you're too old for skipping, you should try it because it is a lot of fun. And by the way, you lose a few calories at the same time. Okay, tip number four, things you need to do before seeing the movie Oz the Great and Powerful. You need to find yourself a boyfriend or a girlfriend with a heart, a brain, and courage. And do this before going to the movie, okay? So they can spring for the tickets and a nice dinner and all that. I mean, if they have a heart and brain and courage, they know better, right? And then my fifth tip for this is to ward off any evil, wicked witches. Get yourself an azabache. Now, I'm sure the Cubans that are listening from Miami and the Puerto Ricans that are listening from San Juan and all you little Latinos around, you know what this is, but we got to tell everybody else what these are. An azabache is a little stone, usually an ebony, but sometimes a jade, little round stone that's attached to some little gold piece of jewelry that's attached to your little onesie from the minute you can breathe. And you wear this little azabache, it's a little piece of jewelry, like I said, to ward off bad spirits, mal de ojos, evil eyes. I wore one for my entire life. I still have mine. They're actually quite cute. But let me tell you something. No wicked bitches for me. These are the things you need to do before seeing this incredible film. Here's a question for you. I want to know, where the hell is the Latina Disney princess? So there was this one little princess called Sofia who was said to be Disney's first Latina princess. But you know what? And all the press, they eventually took that all back and said she's not Latina. I wonder if Disney's afraid of what a Latina princess would be like. I mean, let me paint the picture, okay? First of all, her name would be Princess Gabriela Maria Lupita Sanchez Garcia. And if you got the Barbie version, that entire name would have to go all the way around the box. Gabriela is beautiful. My Disney princess has long black hair, red nails, eyeliner, red lipstick with brown liner, and a skull tat on her face. Okay, just kidding. This is Disney. No visible tattoos or piercings, okay? So, and her King Poppy would be really pissed off. In fact, her father, King Poppy, doesn't let her leave the castle because her midriff is showing and her skinny jeans are too tight. And and regardless of all the servants in her castle, her mother, La Reina, the queen bitch, the queen princess bitch, no, the queen, makes Gabriella take cooking lessons because she knows she'll never make a man happy if she don't know how to cook. And she's got a madrina, okay, because every princess has a fairy godmother, Madrina Anita, who's had so much plastic surgery, like a lot of plastic surgery. Madrina Anita, her fairy godmother, has literally lost. All right, anyway, as every Latina tends to do, our Princess Gabriella falls madly in love with someone her parents forbid her to see romantically, Carlos the stable boy. That doesn't stop Princess Gabriella from sneaking off to the club with Carlos every weekend, and she lives happily ever after in her land of Pico Rivera. That's my Disney Latina princess. What? We can't have a princess? Listen, there's plenty of Latina princesses around to serve as the model for Disney's Latina princess, and I think it is about time that we have not only a Disney Latina princess, but a Disney Latina princess Barbie. Because none of this, you know, just going to the film and being able to watch her on the big screen, that's not enough, okay? We need to have a Latina princess Barbie as well so we can play with her. All right. So Zach Callison, the voice of the prince on Eric Zulli's show, was the voice for Sophia. So, you know, we're going to have him on our show, and I just wanted to mention that because he's just fantastic. And at some point in the near future, we're going to interview him here on Jackie's Vida Loca. But before we do that, I want to tell you, look, I was thinking of repaving my driveway to make it into a yellow brick road in honor of this week's show. And I was doing a little bit of research. My neighbors would just have a cow. I mean, we have one set of neighbors. I can't mention any names on the air, but we have one set of neighbors next door to my house on the left, and they absolutely are like the biggest pill you ever saw in your entire life. Like, when you walk out your house, it's like you don't say, morning. You say, argh, like you just want to kill each other and then walk in opposite directions. I know, it sounds awful. I'm a very friendly person. I'm not antisocial. But I think I'd just make my driveway the yellow brick road to piss them off. But also, I would feel like I was going to Oz or coming home to Oz, should I say, every day. So, yeah, so I started doing a little research on the yellow brick road, and I learned that the inspiration behind the yellow brick road, there's two different stories, so it's highly disputed. So according to one local legend, the yellow brick road was derived from a road paved with yellow bricks, what a surprise, near Holland, Michigan, which is the original writer of the Wizard of Oz, from which the original movie was made, Frank Baum. That's where he summered, in Michigan. So if he summered in Michigan near the yellow brick road, that makes a lot of sense. But if he wintered in Michigan near the yellow brick road, it would be a white brick road because there's always snow on the ground. All right, the second story is historian John Curran believes the original yellow brick road was in Peekskill, New York. And historical maps show that it would have been the quickest route from the docks on the Hudson River to the Peekskill Military Academy, where that lovely Latina Disney princess lives. Okay? All right, I've gotten it off my chest. We are going to run a very brief little promo, and then guess what? After that, my friends, my beautiful loquitos, I have the most unbelievable, awesome. You know what I love about my interview with Simone? And I hope you get this when you listen to it. It is such a natural conversation. It's not like this boring, oh, let me ask you a question, like you don't know the person. You know, it's kind of like you'll be listening into two girlfriends having a conversation. And so I hope you enjoy it. But we're just going to take a quick little teensy-weeny yellow polka dot bikini break. And we'll be right back with Simone Porter, co-writer of Almost Home, for the movie Oz the Great and Powerful, here on Jackie's Vida Loca.
Easy Way Broadcasting is your connection for all things entertainment and business. Join Eric Easy Zulli and his celebrity hosts as they talk to the hottest people in the world of entertainment, and they bring you the latest and greatest in the world of business. Eric welcomes his hosts to Blog Talk Radio 7 days a week. You will hear Mo Egger, Shane Sparks, Jackie Dollar, Rick Rodman, Gabriel Cannon, Vanessa Curry, and Jennifer Murphy. visit www.easywaybroadcasting to find links to all the shows and info on upcoming events. And follow Eric Zuli and his 500,000 Twitter followers at HollywoodIfGuy.com to keep up with everything you want to know.
Hey, locals! This week on my radio show, Jackie Vida Loca, we interview Simone Porter, co-writer with Mariah Carey of the new hit single, Almost Home, for the hottest movie around, Oz the Great and Powerful. Simone is beautiful, soulful, and inspired. Join us as we get teary and personal on Jackie's Vida Loca, Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. In fact, join me every week when I divulge all our Latino secrets, talk about our crazy Latino culture, gossip about our crazy Latino friends and relatives, and interview the craziest, hottest celebrity guests on the entertainment scene. Welcome to my crazy life. Jackie's Vida Loca on Easy Way Broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. The beautiful, expressive, and inspired songwriter who co-wrote Almost Home with Mariah Carey for Disney's Oz the Great and Powerful is a native of Los Angeles. Right around the time when she would have been enraptured by the original Wizard of Oz, she started writing poetry at the age of 5. She loved music. She loved to sing. Her idol was Mariah Carey. But it kind of took me a long time to figure it all out and decide that I would be a good songwriter, she says. She thought that if she wasn't super passionate about playing an instrument, she could never be a songwriter. But creating extraordinary music was in Simone's DNA. Her grandfather composed songs for the greatest music legends, including Frank Sinatra. It took some navigating in life to discover the idea of being a top line writer in popular music, where you might play basic chords on a piano, but as Simone discovered, top line means you write melody and lyrics, but somebody else does the musical production of the song. So, on the proverbial yellow brick road to becoming a songwriter, she was. Her big opportunity came when ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, invited her to a songwriting workshop where 14 promising songwriters were chosen out of hundreds of applicants to be mentored by record labels, big songwriters and producers, publishers, and other music industry hotshots. You can say that Simone Porter's determination and talent has landed her in Disney's fantastical Emerald City. She is now living her dream as her new single, Almost Home, did I mention, co-written with Mariah Carey, will be featured during the closing credits of Oz the Great and Powerful, which opens in theaters tomorrow, March 8th. In fact, Mariah's much-awaited Almost Home video will premiere on American Idol today, March 7th. We're going to play it here for you on Jackie's Vida Loca, but you can download the single on iTunes as soon as you hear it. Simone sources her greatest inspiration from her life experiences and the experiences of others. She tells me, I grew up loving songs that felt like I could have written them myself. It's as if the artist was inside my head and my heart and experiencing my life, or maybe he or she just wrote the song for me because it was so relatable. I strive to write the same kind of songs for others. Welcome to Jackie's Vida Loca, the enchanting, adorable, and brilliant songwriter, Simone Porter. This is your moment, Simone. How do you feel?
Hi, Jackie. I feel amazing. I do. It's kind of taking it all in, enjoying the ride.
What was it like to hear that entire bio? Did that, like, blow your mind?
It does. It's so interesting. I mean, I've always been, this is probably why I'm a songwriter, but as much as I'm a people person, I'm a little bit shy when it comes to that kind of stuff, so hearing it out loud is like, oh, I'm not really born for the spotlight, so...
Well, you certainly are beautiful, and you could be in the spotlight, and you have a gorgeous voice. I know we've talked about this. I think you should sing your songs, but that's a different show.
Thank you. I hear that, and I just say thank you.
You have been on this incredible ride. I remember when we met on an airplane from where was it, New York to L.A., and we instantaneously started talking and became fast onboard friends, and you sort of shared the story of your life. You're such a cool girl, and you're now living your dream, but I'm sure part of it is kind of grueling. What's this experience been like for you so far?
Well, I think just like anything in life, there are ups and downs in any passion that you pursue, but the difference, I think, between songwriting and maybe if you decide that you want to go be a doctor or something else, and by the way, songwriting and also other things in the entertainment business, are that a lot of times these dreams there's not a manual to go with the dream that says, mm-hmm. okay, if you do this, then you're guaranteed that this will happen, and if you do this next step, and even when you sort of navigate within the industry yourself, nobody really tells you what to do, and it's just sort of a lot of trial and error and, you know, rising and falling and crashing and crying and smiling, and, you know, it's just so many emotions. And for me, especially, I mean, I think as a songwriter to a degree, you sort of have to live wearing your heart on your sleeve. You know, you make a lot of sacrifices for something that you love to do. It's been grueling, but at the end of the day, I love writing songs. And I knew that whether anything ever happened with my songs or not, it's just something I had to do, or I would feel mm-hmm. unfulfilled.
And, you know, like you said, it's just a grueling process, and there's so many ups and downs. I guess when you get those highs, they just mean so much more. But, you know, working with an organization like Disney and with a co-writer like Mariah Carey, I guess that's the Mac Daddy of songwriting, right?
It is. What you find out, okay, so, you know, if you discover you love something, whether it's painting or whether it's songwriting or whatever you do, this industry, you know, they always tell you it's sharky, it's really tough. And I guess what you don't realize when you discover that you have that love is the next phase of it, which is after you learn how to write a great song. That's just the beginning. Jackie, I'm so sorry. Hold on.
It's okay. We're a casual show anyway, and Maxwell barks behind me too, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
What's the doggy's name so we can introduce him?
Baxter.
Baxter's singing along. He's just having a good old time.
He's like,
we're casual.
You know, the landscapers have come.
He's alerting.
He is. And now he's embarrassed. He just actually crawled under his cover like, I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Did you give him the evil eye?
I kind of did. I'm so connected to him. But anyways, back to this. I was just going to say that, you know, people always tell you, oh, it's such a tough industry and there's so many sharks out there, and I don't know, I'm such an idealist at heart that I'm like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine, you know? And then the first thing you have to do, I'm just going to speak from my own experience as a songwriter, but I'd say that it kind of applies to any passion where there's not a so-called manual. You just have to get good at your craft, whatever that is. And, you know, I just had to learn how to write a song, and then I had to sort of find people who knew how to write a song and say, hey, I think I know how to write a song. Can you tell me if I know how to write a song? So that they can validate whether I was crazy or, you know, because
yeah.
you can't trust your mom to tell you. I mean, you can, and my mom, by the way, grew up in the music industry, but it's your mom's going to think everything you do is great, so you should always seek somebody outside of your family to validate it, I think.
Right.
And then once you get to the point where you think you can actually do it, the hardest part and the most challenging part for me has been just navigating the industry and knowing that, you know, it's like on the one hand, you have to be completely vulnerable as a songwriter. You have to be completely willing to bare your soul at all times and be open and wear your heart on your sleeve. I think that comes with being an expressive person and wanting to connect to people through emotion. And then on the other hand, you have to be this thick-skinned go-getter who networks with every single person they ever meet and is completely okay with taking no for an answer and being rejected constantly and knowing that you can't take it personally because not everyone's going to get what you do. That's just the beginning of it, but that's just kind of in a nutshell why I think it's an extra interesting position to be in, because as an artist, I think a lot of artists are naturally sensitive, but then on the other hand, you have to be extremely tough to actually succeed on the business side of it, you know?
Absolutely. It sounds like you have to have talent and perseverance and an acumen for business. And, you know, so many artists sort of disregard that aspect and leave that to everybody else. And in the end, you know, they might be successful for a while, but these are the stories that you hear later on where people lose their shirts or, you know, invest in some cockamamie business idea or just, you know, never manage themselves well. And when those lows come, they're not really set up and prepared and they don't have a foundation to handle
exactly.
those times in their lives. So I think you're
yeah.
absolutely right. And by the way, if Mariah Carey thinks you can write a song, honey, you can write a song.
I feel like that was a definite, like, that was a validating moment for me. I'm not going to lie. It was great. But again, like I said, I mean, I've now had literally years of validation, but it's still a matter of that one person who goes out of their way. They don't just say, I believe in you, but they do something about believing in you that can actually change your life. That person for me was the head of music for Disney Motion Pictures, and he saw something in me, but he didn't just say, you're great. He actually acted on it and said, here's an opportunity. So I'm really thankful for those people who not just believe in you, but also follow it through with an action that can do something to change your career and the trajectory of whatever path you're on.
And behind every success in the entertainment business, there is a team. There is a litany of people who believed in that person, because it does take just one to sort of draw the lever on that and catapult that person. But then there is a whole army of people behind behind that person that literally said, yes, you're good enough. Yes, you can do this. Yes, I love you. Yes, I'm behind you. Whether it's people on the business side or family or friends, or Facebook friends. I know I draw a lot of support from all the guys that sort of support me and love me, and that's kind of all the way around.
That and airplane friends.
Yes, airplane friends as well. You know, this song, Almost Home, is a beautiful song. In getting ready for our interview over the last week, I have been listening to this song, and I told you yesterday, I texted you to say that it's kind of etched in my head. It really is just such a beautiful melody, and I'm looking forward to playing it for our listeners. But were you able to read the script before you wrote this song? Like, what inspired you? Did you bring your personal life into it?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I'm so glad that the melody feels infectious for you, and so glad you love it, because that's why I do what I do. So the opportunity came about because I was able to, like you said, there's always a team of people behind you. It takes many people to make things happen, even if in certain ways they're in the background. They've been believers for years in you or whatever. In this case, my management happened to hand some of my songs to the head of music at Disney, so I got lucky just for the right opportunity. He connected to what I did. He loved my music, and he decided to give me a shot and give me a script. Now, I was competing with a bunch of other major songwriters who have all experienced writing for many a movie, but I was just excited for the opportunity. And that day, to be honest, I said, I got a little bit tearful because I've had a lot of close calls with a lot of different things, but this, for some reason, it just, like, was this instant connection of, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is going to happen. This is it, you know?
Wow.
And so, yeah, I read the script, and I've never even read a script before, and I was just blown away. And so I actually asked a few people I know who are in the movie industry who are big producers, and I said, you know, is this a good script? Because it seemed amazing. And they were like, yeah, it's a very good script, and this is an amazing writer. But the script, what was so cool about it is, you know, normally – you always draw from personal experience on some level, I think, as a songwriter. Even if you're writing about something that's not about you at all and you're writing for an artist, you find a way to connect it to something you felt so that you can be authentic in writing. And I would say the same sort of process happened with the script, but it was so cool to use somebody else's art as inspiration. You know, like somebody else's writing is really what inspired the visuals in my head. And I saw the movie as I read the script, and I understood the message, and I heard the music. And then it was just a matter of, like, you know, putting the right team together to make the song come to life. So that's kind of how it all happened. You know, once you understand what the message is, I also think it's true. Like, when you have any message, if it's a message of hope, you can relate to it. So, of course, I did bring my own personal life into the lyric without even really knowing it until after the song was written. And I was like, oh, that's what I just went through.
When you write a song, do you hear the melody first or do you hear the words first?
Songwriting is a very interesting thing, and I'm a very curious person, so I always ask every songwriter I meet, like, how do you write a song? For me, it literally changes every single time. Like, sometimes the melody and lyric will come together, like, at the same time. I'll just be singing words with a melody. Other times I just hear a melody and I really have to work hard for the lyric. And then other times a lyric just pours out of me and then I have to create a melody around the lyric. So it's really different every single time. In this case, I think melody and lyric kind of came at the same time because I was working with a team on the song and chords were being played on the piano and we were just coming up with a million. I'd say melody came first, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. And then sometimes melody and lyric came at the same time. It's kind of a puzzle that you put together, and every time it's a different puzzle, so you can't. For me, there's no rhyme and reason. Some people have a very sort of methodical process, and I don't.
You know, this is not intended to be a religious type question, but do you feel there's divine inspiration when people write music? Because it's such an amazing thing to do, and it seems like such a spiritual journey. Do you feel like there's just this sort of out of this world kind of force that has a role in this?
Absolutely. I was actually just in a meeting yesterday at Sony talking about this with one of the executives there that, you know, we were talking about, there was a woman in the room when I wrote this other song, not this song, and she didn't contribute to the song, but she's going to get a percentage of the song just because of the fact that she was in the room. Some people can say that that's unfair, but I really do believe two things. One, I believe that the dynamic of the room and the energy of the room changes based on who's in it, and you would not have written the same song had there been different company. And I can't explain it. It's just what I've seen, like, through experience. And so if she hadn't have been there, and by the way, like, I think her contribution to the song was literally like, ooh, I like that. You know what I mean? It was like,
right.
Her energy was real to the point where I don't know. I really do think that the outcome of the song would have been completely different on some level if she wasn't there.
You know, it makes so much sense, because if somebody was really super negative and judgmental, even if they said nothing but they were in the room, that would completely change the vibe. I can completely see what you're talking about.
So there's that, and then I completely agree on that. And then I also think, like, I do believe in God, and I definitely think it's divine inspiration. And a lot of times people will be like, wow, you wrote that? Whatever it is. I mean, I've been a writer since I was a little girl, and, you know, I'll read things back. I hope this doesn't come across as arrogant. It's not at all. But sometimes I'll be like, wow, I can't believe I wrote that. And I realize, even at a young age, I think it's because I didn't write it. Like, I personally believe that I'm just a conduit, and that whatever gifts that we've been given, no matter what they are, whether you're a math wizard or, it's like the reason we can't explain why we do what we do to a degree is because it's not from us. It's like a gift. And we're just sort of the one who expresses the gift, if that makes sense.
I am so right there with you on that, and that thinking and that belief. You know, I'm not a songwriter. But if I was, and I created a piece of music on paper, and then I had to turn it over to somebody else to interpret that, I'd be on pins and needles. I feel like somebody took my baby from me and was going to do whatever they wanted with it. How difficult is it for you to turn that, to turn your creation over for somebody else's interpretation?
You know, that's really funny. That's another amazing question. And I know a lot of people have trouble with that. I don't have trouble with that. I don't know if that means I'm going to be a bad mom. I'm like, here, you can have my baby. I don't know. I just see it as like, I was lucky enough to create this, and let's see where it goes in the world. And I want to share it in whatever form it takes place, I guess. If I felt somebody wrecked it, so to speak, and was like, no, that's not where I was going, I would be sad. But at the same time, at the end of the day, as a songwriter, you're the one who has the first say. If you didn't want it in the world, like, there's an actual law that the person who is the songwriter on the song could say, no, I don't want this person recording it. So I don't know. I think it's an adventure. Like, I think there's something so beautiful about the way art evolves, and that, like, you know, this song started as one thing, and then it changed into another, and then it turns into another thing with someone else's voice on it and their interpretation of it. And then once the song is out in the world, people do YouTube covers of it, and then they have their own interpretation. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing. I love it. So maybe I will be a good mom. I don't know. I'll raise a child, and I'm just like, go into the world. You're good now. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's almost like you have to trust the process. I asked the same question of Gregory Allen Howard was on our show, and he's the screenwriter who Remember the Titans and Ali. He's an incredibly brilliant guy, and I asked him the same question about writing a screenplay and letting actors and directors and the whole system take that over and leave it to their interpretation. And, you know, it's funny, he said the same thing. I think that's a tenet of success in this business in any capacity, whether you're an actor or you're the director or you're the songwriter or you're the screenwriter. It's like there's so many cogs to that creative wheel. And I think people who are successful in that, I mean, this is an epiphany I'm having right now because I am a control freak. It's like, you know, you have to trust the process and trust the talents and kind of allow people to give of themselves, too, in that process. And I think it does make it more beautiful. So you just taught me something. This is awesome.
And by the way, I'm admittedly kind of a control freak, too. If there's something that's been done awful to my song, don't get me wrong, I'm sure that the person doing it wouldn't have thought that, but I would definitely speak my mind and be like, yeah, you know, this isn't where I wanted to go. But there is something beautiful in watching things unfold.
Do you remember sitting on a plane with me and playing your demos for me and putting the earphones on me?
I do.
It was such an experience for me because you remember what happened with one of your songs, right? You remember?
Yes.
What did I do?
You cried, and I it's like the weirdest feeling because I felt like I wanted to hug you, but then I felt so happy you connected to something that, like, when it comes down to it, that's why I write songs, to connect to something in somebody and say, like, you know, we're all the same. We're really all the same.
You didn't think I was a crazy nut?
No, not at all. I just felt bad. In a way, I felt bad that I, like, you know, I'm like, oh, God, my song caused this, and I didn't, you know, and so I felt bad, but then I felt like, no, it was something that you needed to connect to at that moment. Like, there was a message in that just, you know, resonated with you.
Just for the listener's benefit, she played a song for me, and I had recently lost my almost 18-year-old dog, Scamp, who I adore. It was like a son, is like a son still. And this song, oh, my God. God, it was just such a beautiful song, and I couldn't help but connect the feelings I was having about that loss to the words in that music, and hopefully that song will make it huge so the world can hear and cry with me. It just, you know, to me that told me right then and there that you had this extraordinary talent. And tell me, who are some of your other music idols?
I mean, all over the place. I grew up listening to big band and Frank Sinatra, and my grandparents were both, you know, in that era and both big in music, so I had that kind of influence. And then I definitely have always loved pop music, you know, like top 40 radio. And even when I was a little girl, like 5 and 6 years old, little, mm-hmm. I'd be awake at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning because they played the weekly top 40 countdown on our radio station.
Yep.
And my mom would come in and she's like, Simone, what are you doing awake this early? And I would make sure that I was awake so that I could listen from number 40 to number one.
Oh,
and I just loved the top 40 countdown. Like, I've always loved pop music, so that's definitely an influence. And then I love really soulful music, too. Like, Donny Hathaway was always a big inspiration to me. And as far as the pop world goes, like, I grew up listening to, like, Michael Jackson and Mariah and Madonna and, you know, like, a lot of those kinds of people who have had these amazing careers. Like, I love U2 and Coldplay, and then some indie artists too, for sure. Like Regina Spektor is somebody I love listening to, and I don't know if you listen to a lot of the music that's on like Grey's Anatomy, but all those people like Ingrid Michaelson and people like that have just always been really cool to me.
Now that you mentioned it, I have to get turned on to that music because I'm very curious about it.
Sorry, I almost forgot to tell you though, as far as other inspiration goes, which you can appreciate on the Vida Loca, I love like Alejandro Sanz, Shakira, and I actually listened to a lot of Ricky Martin too growing up.
I know. I love Living La Vida Loca. That is like an anthem for me.
But Alejandro Sanz, to me, he just like blows me away, so talented. But back to, the radio. I don't know if I can choose a favorite, but one I just heard yesterday that I really love is that song Stay by Rihanna right now. And then I like some of the Kendrick Lamar type of hip-hop stuff. I love the song called Try by Pink, which actually a friend of mine wrote. That song is so great. You got to get up and try. I think Demi Lovato's new song is good, Heart Attack. And I'm sure that I'm forgetting like a million songs that I completely connect to that
I think Fun is great.
I love all that. Like Mumford & Sons, Fun, those bands right now, I love that they're coming back.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, my favorite, Miguel Adorn. I love him. He's amazing. He's like the next, I hate saying the next anything because I think we're all our own thing, but if I had to say he was the next something, to me he's the next Prince.
Can you sing like a piece of his song?
No, with my voice right now. No.
You know who else I love is Bruno Mars.
Oh, my gosh. See, that's what I mean. I'll always forget.
Can you write a song for Bruno Mars? Does he write his own
music? I
really
want to, and I think we'd actually write really, really well together. So
I could totally see that.
He has very emotionally driven things. He's very special. I want to write for him, and I want to write for Adele, so I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay.
All right, we got it. It's in the universe now.
And I'll take Rihanna and Beyonce, too, while we're at it. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure they take you. Look, once you co-write a song with Mariah Carey for Disney, the world has literally completely opened up. The seas have now parted, Simone, and you are going to walk across to that yellow brick road of success. I can't help but using all of the euphemisms from the movie. You know, you're at the beginning of this amazingly successful career. You're at the beginning. You're like Dorothy at the beginning of the yellow brick road heading into Oz. Where do you see yourself down the road in 10 years?
That's a really good question, and it's actually like you get to this point, like you've been running this race, you're running so hard, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is definitely not my time to stop running, but okay, maybe this is a new race. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's something I've actually been reflecting on a lot in the past week because, as you might imagine, when you get to a place where all of a sudden something big happens, all these people are calling, everything sort of quickly starts changing, and you have to sort of keep a level head and say, okay, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm so passionate about songwriting that, like, nothing's going to change. I'm just going to now work harder and hopefully get into better situations where I can write even more songs and have a better chance of getting the song to be able to connect with the world. So as far as that goes, I think that's not going to change. I just hope that there's more of it. In a perfect world, I would love to split my time between London and L.A. or between London, New York, and L.A. One thing that's really cool about music in London right now is that it's very organic. You know, Adele's there, Florence and the Machine. There are a lot of people there, a lot of artists there who I personally Coldplay. They come out of there, and it's just like this genuine music that I just love. And mm-hmm. I would love to be able to write for movies, write for those kinds of artists, and then also do, like, really fun dance songs and, like, the kinds of singles that happen here. And just kind of plant a bunch of seeds and sort of see what unfolds. I hope that I just keep climbing. And I also think it's really important to be a mentor. I currently mentor for an amazing organization called Write Girl, which is W-R-I-T-E Girl.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and it's just, it's teenage girls who have demonstrated talent as writers, and we get to go in and help mentor them in their songwriting. And there's all different facets of Write Girl, not just for songwriting, but whether you want to be a novelist, a screenplay writer, whatever. So I would just say mentoring, building my own career. Who knows, maybe I'll write a book too or something, but I always see myself as a writer. And then in my personal life, I hope, I don't know, I guess I'll find somebody who can, like, romantically go along that path with me. I already have great friends, so I hope that I continue to just have that and health, and then have my dogs and be able to ride horses. That's kind of my dream life. So,
do you want to have kids someday?
I think so. I was always the career girl, and I love kids, but I think if a kid came from love, you know, and mm-hmm. then, like, I've met the right person, and it just, I could see it going that way, but not like my life wouldn't be fulfilled if I didn't have kids.
Gotcha. So I'm going to have 5 kids, 2 for you, 3 for me.
Okay, perfect. And I can see myself adopting, too. Like, I just think that there's so much love in this world. I have an adopted sister, and I think there are so many kids who, part of me is like, do you even need to have kids? Because look, there are, like, all these beautiful kids
Absolutely.
All over the world you could have as, you know, share your life with.
There's a lot of kids all over the world. There's a lot of kids in our very own backyard that need a loving, happy, healthy home, need parents that will take care of them. I couldn't agree with you more, and if it came to that for me, I would absolutely. I think it's one of the most noble things you can do.
Yeah, so I'm just open. I feel like it's important to be open. I tend to think a lot and feel a lot and all those things, but I try to be open when it comes to that because, you know, no matter how we try to sort the outcome out or control the outcome of so many things in our lives, it never goes that way. So it's like you might as well just let go and just sort of try to enjoy the journey instead of being so fixated on, not to say you shouldn't have goals, because I totally believe in goals, and I think they're so important, but
mm-hmm.
have a goal and then be open to how you get to the goal.
Okay, with that having been said, I want our listeners to hear this beautiful song that I can't get out of my head. Take a deep breath and introduce your song.
Okay, deep breath. So this song is called Almost Home, and it's performed by Mariah Carey, and I hope you guys enjoy it. It's one of those songs where I think it's a feel-good song, and it's kind of like if you've been through struggle or if there's any doubt in your life about where you belong, you just have to keep remembering you're almost home. And I encourage you to go see the movie because I had a chance to see it, and it's beautiful.
I feel the light in the sky, in the sky, the light firefly, burning bright, just to vanish in the dark.
is Simone Porter and Mariah Carey's Almost Home, the song for Disney's Oz the Great and Terrible. I encourage you to watch the video tonight on American Idol and go see the movie. It launches tomorrow, March 8th. So, Simone, now we've come to the point in our interview where we have this thing called rapid fire. You have no idea what the questions are, right?
I have no idea. Should I be scared?
No, you're going to do great. You're going to do great. The way it works is I'm going to shoot out some questions to you. You're going to just give me the top of mind responses, okay? And it has to go fast, not a lot of thought, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you ready?
I think I'm ready.
So what was your favorite childhood toy?
Something at Toys R Us, but the little bouncy, the pogo thing. Pogo stick.
The pogo thing, okay.
Yeah.
If you weren't writing songs, you'd be doing what?
Writing something else. writing a book? I don't know. Something creative, for sure.
What special superpower do you wish you had?
I want to say read people's minds, but I'd probably regret it the day I got the power. So I know. I wish I had a superpower to make my hair look good every day, because I just feel like it's so nice to have long hair, but every girl out there can relate. It takes a long time for your hair to look good unless you just have that perfect, like, wake-up straight hair. Okay, so hair.
Good hair day superpower. Gotcha. I like that one.
That's so shallow.
Okay. Do you believe in luck?
Yes, if luck is defined by opportunity meets preparation.
I love that quote. Who's your favorite character in Oz the Great and Powerful?
Ooh. Oscar, who eventually becomes Oz. Yeah, I would say a lot of people can relate to just feeling like, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but sort of feeling like a fraud and having doubts and not knowing if who you are is really good enough. You know, in the song it says, underneath the good is something greater than you know. We all have doubts, no matter how much people tell us we're great. And if we can push through any fears and doubts and keep going, that's when, I guess, magic happens.
Who's your number one fan?
Probably my dogs. No, I'm just kidding.
Baxter.
My dog, Brooklyn, he is about as big of a fan as they get. I don't know. That's hard to say. I would say probably my mother.
Have you ever jumped for joy?
Yes, I actually have. And I've done cartwheels for joy, too.
What makes an ordinary day extraordinary for you?
I think the little things. I think the conversation with your friends and you're just like, wow, I laughed so much today that my stomach hurt. Meeting strangers and having a connection. Getting woken up by puppy kisses, writing a great song that you just feel like, whoa, something magic just happened. I'd say that it's the little things that really make extraordinary, all the little moments.
Good witch, bad witch, which one are you?
Good witch, for sure. but you didn't ask me when I was PMSing because I might have said bad witch. 3 weeks out of the month, I'm definitely the good witch. When you see the movie, she's just like the encourager and like, you can do this. And I definitely think that that's my nature. I hope that I always help others sort of see their way through things.
You are such a relatable person, and I absolutely fell in love with you from the moment we met each other on that plane, although I know I look like a total rag.
You didn't. You're gorgeous. You were like one of the most beautiful women. Please.
Get out. I look like a total rag. And I'm making friends on a flight. But anyway, I think you're just an outstanding girl, and I think that you're going to go even further than you ever dreamed of. And you're on this incredible journey. You're at the beginning of that yellow brick road. What advice do you have for our listeners who want to do exactly what you're doing now?
Well, first of all, thank you, because you're so sweet. And as far as advice goes, you know, there are a lot of ways you can pursue being a songwriter, but I'm just going to speak to being a top-line writer because that's exactly what I do. I would say that it's really important to connect to music people if you just do melody and lyrics so that you have, you know, a point of reference. Figure out who you connect to musically, and then you also can just start writing lyrics. Like, also listen to songs, look at lyrics on the internet, and sort of see what moves you. I think at first, like with anything else, there's a point where imitation meets originality, but we all sort of have people that we need to sort of feel connected to. So find out who moves you and then just start trying. And if you need some music to accompany it because you don't play music, then you just go around and find people who create music and pair up with them and start writing, and then you just see where it goes and learn song structure, just learn the craft. As far as like the long haul, go out there, network with people. There's never the wrong place to be. If you have your heart 100% in something, then it's just a matter of tenacity, and you keep working and you keep trying and you don't give up. You know, there are organizations that you can belong to, and I'll give you guys my Twitter handle. You can always ask me questions. Most importantly, just know that if you want to share your art with the world, it's different than a hobby. So you have to have a business mind too, and you have to separate the two, because I think that there's nothing stone cold about writing. You have to be very open and warm and available. But then you do have to put on your business face when it comes to trying to make things happen and succeed, I think. Those would be my pieces of advice.
And that's what I love about you. I love the fact that you can just be this fierce creative force, but yet still be a fierce businesswoman. To me, you have to understand how money is made and how careers are managed. You can't just leave that to chance for the world to do for you. Where do you go from here? It's like, if the world is your oyster, what is next for you?
You know, I don't really know, but that's what's so exciting about life, right? Like, you know, every single time we think we have it all figured out, we don't know anything. And I think that that's sort of the beauty, and I think that's also where we get inspiration to write our next song. So I'm not sure what's next. I know that intentions do matter, and that, you know, like, I do have an intention. Like I said, I see myself in London and LA, and I think that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm putting out in the universe right now. I really want to reach the masses. I love pop music. I'm not embarrassed to admit it. I don't think there's anything wrong making money doing what you love when you put your heart and soul into it. And beyond that, like, forget the money part of it, but to actually, you know, have your songs being heard by people in the world is the most humbling, beautiful thing, because for me, that's what made my life and shaped my life. Like, songs did that for me, and I always felt like I had a friend in music.
Well, music is a peek into somebody's soul, and I think every time you write a piece of music, you're divulging a little piece of yourself, you're opening up yourself a little bit more so that others can see the pain or see the joy or see the struggle or whatever it is that you're writing about. Omotone has some of the most beautiful lyrics I've ever heard that just really, really stick with you. Tell our audience, what is your favorite line in the entire song, the one that really allows us to peek into Simone Porter's soul?
I would say the second verse for me, just because it's so relatable, and it came right out just because it's so relatable to something I was experiencing in my own life. It goes, when you run so far that you've forgotten who you are, and where you're from is like some other universe. You count your steps like they're regrets. You catch one breath and lose the rest. Wrong is right, right is left, and there's nowhere left to turn. Now, I didn't write every single one of those words, but that idea just started flowing from me, and then, you know, it was a co-write. It's just something I relate to because sometimes we struggle so hard and we have all these doubts and we think that every step that we move forward, actually maybe it's just a regret. And you don't really know if you're doing the right thing and you question things, but you're confused because you're just following your heart. And it's something I related to so deeply, especially, like, you know, just working so hard in the music industry and wanting this with every ounce of my soul. And it's like, where do these dreams and passions come from? I would just say they have to be true, and dreams do come true, so don't believe in everything you think you know is sort of the line that sort of captures that feeling.
I think that what you wrote in that song was written just for me. And I'm so honored that you have been on our show today. I know we're going to have you back on with many, many more successes. Simone, I wish you the very, very best of luck and life and happiness, and I'm sure that we will stay very, very, very connected through the process.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jackie. It's been super fun, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening, and I don't know if you'll give it to them, but make sure that they follow on Twitter so you guys can ask me any questions. My Twitter handle is Simone Porter, so it's pretty easy. SimonePorter.
Thank you so much for joining us on Jackie Vida West Loca. As of March 3rd, Almost Home, the main track from the movie Oz the Great and Powerful, co-written by Simone Porter and Mariah Carey, has sold 20,000 copies in the U.S. alone, people. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that all your dreams come true. I hope that this week you find your yellow brick road. I know I'm paving my driveway. And I'll just have to tell you next week, next Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, exactly how that went over. In the meantime, thank you, locos. I love you, and I will be thinking about you all week long. Have a good one.
Adios, everybody. Join me again next Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, for the craziest Latino mommy on Jackie's Vida Loca.